Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi vows revenge for the US assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani 2 years ago, unless former US President Donald Trump faces trial.
The then US President must be put on trial as an aggressor, murderer, and the main criminal.
Saudi warplanes conduct around 50 strikes on the city of Usaylan in Yemen's Shabwa province. Also ahead, COVID-19 cases in Florida have risen by nearly 950% in just 2 weeks as the Omicron variant drives a huge wave of infections and hospitalizations across the U.S. Thank you for joining us. Our top story this hour: people in Iran have paid tribute to the country's top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, and senior Iraqi commander, Abu Mehdi al-Muhandis. The two anti-terror icons were assassinated in an American drone strike outside Baghdad airport on January the 3rd, 2020. People from all walks of life participated in ceremonies across Iran to mark the occasion. They called for bringing the perpetrators to justice. People from other countries such as Iraq, Yemen, and Syria have also held similar ceremonies in commemoration of General Soleimani and al-Muhandis. Addressing a gathering in the capital at Tehran, President Ibrahim Raisi said former US President Donald Trump, who ordered the assassinations, must be put on trial.
2 years on since the U.S.'s assassination of top Iranian military commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, made headlines, and Iranians still grieve his loss. On the second anniversary of the incident, thousands gathered at Tehran's Grand Mausoleum to pay tribute to him. Addressing the gathering, Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi vowed to bring those behind the incident to justice.
If Trump and Pompeo are not tried in a fair court for the criminal act of assassinating Lieutenant Soleimani, Muslims will take our martyrs' revenge.
General Soleimani was the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He, together with commander of Iraq's popular mobilization units, Abu Mehdi al-Muhandis, was assassinated in January 2020 in a U.S. air raid outside Baghdad International Airport, on a direct order from then-U.S. President Donald Trump. Soleimani is well known for dismantling Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. He also spearheaded major operations in Syria that resulted in liberating key areas from Daesh. This made him rise to fame in the region as the mastermind of the fight against terrorism.
Lieutenant Soleimani did not allow the terrorists to approach our borders. We owe our security and stability to his sacrifices.
If it wasn't for Lieutenant General Soleimani, the entire region would have collapsed and fallen under Daesh control. Not only Iranians, but the people of the region are indebted to him.
The U.S. thought in vain that by assassinating Qasem Soleimani, it would stop his fight against terrorism. But in fact, the incident gave rise to a united front in the region against Washington, and that's what led to the humiliating ouster of American troops from the region.
Iran says it is seriously following up on its legal pursuit to prosecute those behind Soleimani's assassination. Iran and Iraq have recently formed a joint investigation committee comprising judicial experts from both countries. Based on the latest findings of the legal team, more than 120 people have been identified in connection with Soleimani's assassination. Former U.S. President Donald Trump tops the list.
People say by assassinating General Soleimani, the United States tried to disrupt the regional fight against terrorism, something which they say put Washington on a confrontational course with the countries in West Asia and marked the beginning of its exit from the region. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Lebanon's Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah praises the role of Lieutenant General Soleimani and Iraqi Commander Abu Mehdi al-Muhandis in the fight against terrorism in the region, adding that the expulsion of all U.S. troops from West Asia will be the ultimate revenge for their assassination. Miriam Saleh is in Beirut.
Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah lashed out at the United States as the mother of corruption and terrorism in the region and stressed that the expulsion of U.S. forces from the region will be the final revenge for the U.S. assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Iraqi Popular Mobilization Unit's commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis in Baghdad in 2020.
We have declared earlier that the best revenge is the full withdrawal of U.S. troops from the region. And over the past 2 years, as the leader Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, the U.S. has been forced to leave Afghanistan with humiliation. This has led the U.S. allies to rethink their alliance with Washington.
In an address to a ceremony in Beirut remembering the martyrs Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and their companions, Sayyid Nasrallah also accused the U.S. of being behind all Israeli and Saudi crimes in the region for decades.
The lesson which I would like to highlight today is that everyone acting for the sake of God emerges victorious in all battles and wins the hearts and minds of all people across the Arab and Muslim worlds. They show us that the U.S. serves as the real enemy and source of corruption, occupation, and terrorism in our region.
Allies believe that the project of the resistance continues to face the criminality of the U.S. in Lebanon and the region.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani belongs to the school of thought of a struggle against the occupiers of our land and those who destroyed our homes and killed our people and led one war after the other with their support for the Zionists. He sacrificed his life and stood against terrorism in Iraq, Yemen, Syria, and Lebanon and Palestine. He taught us that Lebanon is strong enough and can remove itself from the U.S. hegemony.
The leader of the resistance stressed that the assassination of martyr Soleimani, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, has triggered a new phase at the regional level.
The assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and PMU commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis is seen as an incident larger than the region itself, and for many analysts has brought to light a long-term confrontation for Lebanon's Hezbollah facing U.S. influence in Lebanon and the region. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
And Afghans mark the second anniversary of the U.S. assassination of top Iranian commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani by organizing different events. They view Martyr Soleimani as a symbol of bravery and faith. Ahmadullah Baghban reports from Kabul.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani is highly respected among Afghan people because of his leadership role in resisting invasion and Takfiri groups in the region. Afghans consider him as a hero who inspired them to find freedom and defeat the invaders. To commemorate Lieutenant General Soleimani's sacrifices and bravery, Afghan leaders, clerics, and experts gathered at the Iranian embassy in Kabul, highlighting his role in unifying Muslims and forming an anti-terrorist resistance in the region, especially Afghanistan.
Martyr Soleimani was a righteous servant of God. He was committed to Islam's holy values and ideals, so he devoted his life to serve Muslims and the oppressed and fight devils and Takfiri groups. He fought the U.S. hegemony in the region and didn't let it interfere in Islamic countries' affairs and create terror and war in the region.
Shahid Qasem Soleimani.
Martyr Soleimani managed to unify Muslims around the globe. He always used to show up wherever he was needed. For Afghanistan, he was a friend. He met resistance forces and Afghan top leaders to motivate and empower them to defend their soil against terrorists and invaders. Therefore, we owe the victory over the U.S. to the anti-terror, General Soleimani.
Some Afghan teenagers, considering themselves as the followers of Lieutenant General Soleimani's school of thought, have held a Sanda Wushu match on the occasion of the second anniversary of the martyrdom of their fearless role model.
All matches held here in support of Commander Soleimani. We, the young generation of Afghanistan, are followers of his school of thought. We love the commander's attitude and adopt him as our role model in bravery, faith, and modesty. That is why most matches are named after him.
Lieutenant General Soleimani not only played a major role in defeating Daesh terrorist group in Syria and Iraq, but also had a direct relation with Afghan resistance forces to help them defeat terrorist groups and put an end to invasion on their soil. Afghans mark the second anniversary of the U.S. assassination of the anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, as they are still suffering from time-to-time Daesh attacks. For Afghans, Martyr Soleimani is a hero and the role model for fighting against terrorism. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Muslims in Nigeria have marked the second anniversary of the assassination of top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani. Danjuma Abdullahi has the details from Abuja, the Nigerian capital.
The second anniversary of the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was marked with a lecture which detailed the life and good works of the former leader of the Quds Force of Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps. The participants praised the sterling quality of his character, especially his selfless fight against terrorist groups.
He was killed for his fight against this terrorism. And he need to be remembered. We must remember General Qasem Soleimani for his bravery and standing against injustice. He fight against the extrajudicial killing of innocent people by the so-called ISIS and other terrorist organizations.
General Soleimani and his fellow Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis were assassinated in a targeted drone attack on the 3rd of January 2020 in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad, with orders from then US President Donald Trump. People here say the assassination of General Soleimani has revealed the true identity of terror sponsors to the world.
Those that claim to be fighting against terrorism kill a hero, somebody who fights against terrorism. Now, who are the terrorists? America is the perpetrators of terrorism in the world. It is very clear to the whole world that these are the global sponsors and perpetrators of terrorism in the world.
Military hospital.
In a message to the occasion, Nigeria's senior Muslim cleric Sheikh Ibrahim Al-Zazaki said the Islamic movement in Nigeria will continue to mark the assassination of General Soleimani, just like it marks other martyrs in Karbala, Zaria, and other places. Nigerians who gathered here say they share the pain of the Iranian people and indeed of all law-abiding nations of the world who stand against extrajudicial killing like that of General Qasem Soleimani by the U.S. government. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
Yemen's army releases footage of an Emirati-flagged vessel seized Monday off the country's western port city of Hodeidah. The army spokesman says the ship, which was carrying military equipment, has been taken to Salif port. Yahya Sari says the vessel was engaged in hostile acts against Yemen's security and stability. According to media reports, the ship was heading to the Saudi port of Jizan in the Red Sea. They claim it was carrying equipment from a shuttered field hospital. This comes amid Saudi Arabia's intensified attacks on its southern neighbor. Later in the day, the kingdom's warplanes conducted around 50 strikes on the city of Usaylan in Yemen's Shabwa province. Our correspondent Insan Abdul Latif al-Washali joined us earlier with the latest on the attacks.
For the few past days, the Saudi-backed forces have been claiming that they have taken control of Usaylan, of Balharith area, particularly in Usaylan and Shabwa province. There have been fierce clashes with the Saudi-backed forces. The Yemeni army has made significant advances in that area. And whenever we see the Saudi-led coalition launches such a huge number of air strikes against a particular area, we realize that the Yemeni army has made significant advances in that area. The Yemeni army said that it will absolutely liberate all of Shabwa province from the Saudi-backed forces. Usaylan is a very important area. It's a strategic area, actually, and it means a lot for the Yemeni army to take control of that area to proceed the military operations toward liberating all the Yemeni territories from the Saudi-backed forces. The Saudis have been claiming that they are advancing in Shabwa and in Marib, but what we see that they are launching tens of airstrikes against the Yemeni forces, and this is a sign that the Yemeni armed forces are advancing against the Saudi-backed forces.
Elsewhere, COVID-19 cases are soaring in the United States as the highly transmissible Omicron variant drives a huge wave of infections and hospitalizations across the country. According to U.S. media, coronavirus cases have doubled nationwide in the last 7 days to 418,000 infections a day on average. In Florida, the situation is far worse, with a spike of nearly 950% in cases in just 2 weeks. Officials say residents have to wait for hours in lines to take a test. Official data suggests only 62% of the U.S. population is fully vaccinated, with numbers especially low in the South. The U.S. is the world's hardest hit country by the pandemic, with more than 56 million infections and nearly 848,000 fatalities. Palestinians rally in the besieged Gaza Strip in solidarity with an inmate who has been on hunger strike in an Israeli jail for months now. Addressing the rally, a top official of the Islamic Jihad movement warned Israel over the worsening health of Hisham Abu Hawash. He stressed that prisoners are a red line for the Palestinians. The movement says Israel is fully responsible for the current condition of Abu Hawash and that it will take revenge on the regime if he dies. The Palestinian prisoner went on a hunger strike more than 140 days ago to protest his illegal detention without charge or trial. Abu Hawash is currently in a state of coma. Medical experts say he is in danger of a sudden death or a stroke. Two Israeli military pilots have been killed in a helicopter crash near the northern port city of Haifa in the occupied territories. The Israeli military says a third crew member was injured and evacuated to a hospital. The Panther helicopter went down while it was taking part in a training exercise. An investigation has been launched to determine the cause of the crash. The Israeli Air Force chief has ordered suspension of training flights as well as the use of maritime Panther helicopters. That brings an end to our bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight. In Britain, regular meetings are being held with ministers to assess how workforces, supply chains and schools are affected as the Omicron COVID variant is sweeping across the country. The article you're about to hear has been written by the Guardian journalist Jedidiah Otter. The piece is titled, Boris Johnson asks ministers to plan for COVID workplace absences of up to 25%. Stay with us for more. Britain Prime Minister Boris Johnson has instructed ministers to come up with robust contingency plans for workplace absences as it emerged that the government is concerned about the impact record numbers of daily COVID infections could have on businesses in the coming weeks. The Cabinet Office confirmed that despite the accelerated booster program, public sector leaders have been asked to prepare for a worst-case scenario that will see up to a quarter of workers being off work due to high COVID levels in the population. The department claimed that so far disruption caused by Omicron variant has been controlled in most part of the public sector, but acknowledged that public sector leaders have been asked to play through worst-case scenarios of 10%, 20% and 25% workforce absence rates, according to the Press Association report. Steve Barclay, the Cabinet Office Minister and Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, is chairing regular meetings with ministers to assess how workforces, supply chains and schools are affected as the Omicron COVID variant is sweeping across the country. The department admitted businesses and public services could face further disruption in coming weeks, and that Boris Johnson has tasked ministers to test contingency plans and explore solutions that are hoped to save the relevant sectors from bottleneck scenarios caused by a temporary, significantly diminished workforce. The news comes after the Daily Telegraph reported that the government's work-from-home guidance in England could remain in place for most of January. Steve Barclay added, as people return to work following the Christmas break, the high transmissibility levels of Omicron mean business and public services will face disruption in the coming weeks, particularly from higher than normal staff absence. We have been working through the Christmas period to prepare where possible for this, with all departments liaising closely with public and private sector leaders who are best placed to operationally manage their workforces. The best way to combat Omicron is to get boosted, and I encourage anyone who is eligible to get a booster vaccine shot right now. Meanwhile, the Labour Party said Prime Minister had previously gone missing for days on end when he should have been instructing ministers to draft contingency plans. Labour Party's Deputy Leader Angela Rayner said Boris Johnson's lack of leadership means his government has dithered and delayed, leaving contingency planning to the very last moment. Boris Johnson should have instructed his ministers to start planning weeks ago, but instead he went missing for days on end. With record COVID infection numbers, the Prime Minister must immediately get a grip on workforce pressures, keep essential services moving, keep schools open, and keep people safe. A new record of 189,846 laboratory-confirmed COVID-19 cases were logged in the United Kingdom on Friday, as the British Medical Association BMA called for further public health measures urgently to prevent the health service being completely overwhelmed. On Saturday, 1st of January, England on its own reported a record-high daily total of 162,572 new cases. Professor Sir David Spiegelhalter, a statistician at the University of Cambridge and a government advisor, said the actual number of daily cases could be closer to 500,000. But Britain's Health Secretary Sajid Javid said new restrictions on freedom in England must be an absolute last resort. Meanwhile, all school pupils in secondary schools in England should return to wearing face masks in classrooms, Minister said last night, as fears grew that the new terms could trigger a huge spike in the cases of the Omicron variant. The new advice came amid mounting criticism of the government for failing to ensure availability of COVID testing kits in time for the return to school and workplaces following the Christmas break. The Department for Education said the advice was short-term, only to support school pupils and teachers as they return to school this term, and would remain in place until 26th of January, when it will be reviewed. However, there are mounting concerns among scientists and in medical profession that a further rapid rise in infections is possible, particularly in England, where rules on socialising over Christmas break and the New Year were more relaxed. On Friday, 31st of December 2021, the number of confirmed cases in England was a record 162,572. A lack of testing equipment is also adding to staffing problems across public services. All state schools have been asked by the British government to carry out on-site testing of pupils before lessons begin this week.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. You are listening to and with me in the studio are two experts, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Ali Alavian and Said Mohsen Naghvi. This series of viewpoints is concerned with the speeches and thoughts of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Before anything, let's say salam to the experts over here. Said Mohsen, salam alaikum, brother, welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, and Brother Alavian, salam alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, thanks for having me here.
You're welcome, brother. You know that 1 year have passed the martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani, who was killed in a drone attack by the U.S. last year. And for the commemoration ceremony of this dear general of Iran, Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, tried to dedicate this series of the program to the speeches and thoughts of Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, about General Soleimani. You know, on different occasions after the martyrdom and even in the first commemoration ceremony, a leader has talked about Qasem Soleimani and talked about his main attributes. But before getting to the attributes enumerated by the leader, let me ask you, Sayyid Mohsen, why General Qasem Soleimani had such a high position in the eyes of Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, obviously, one thing which we need to keep in our minds is the criteria of looking at a person is taqwa, basically.
That's right.
And if you want to see a person, whether he is a good person or bad, you must look whether he is pious or he is muttaqi or not.
That's right.
Is he God-weary or not?
Okay.
General Qasem Soleimani, obviously, from the beginning when there was a war between Iran and Iraq, the 8 years war against the Saddam regime, in that time and in the history over the time, he showed that he was a God-weary person, and he fought for Islam. His, we can say, like he was concerned about the Islam, the expansion of Islam. And not just the Islam, the mere Islam, but the true Muhammadan Islam.
That's right.
And anyone who has such a characteristic, such a thinking, obviously, he must have, he must be seen as a good person in the eyes of the scholars.
Okay.
Supreme Leader also, obviously, he's trying to expand the Muhammadan Islam, and he is the leader of the Muslim Ummah.
Yeah.
So in the Muslim Ummah, if you find such a person who, without his personal, we can say, like, aims or goals, is fighting and living for the Islam itself, so obviously this kind of person should be seen as a good person.
As he himself said in his memoir, said, I was going to enter the Iran-Iraq war for just only a 15-day mission, but I stayed over there. It was a temporary mission, okay, at the very beginning when he was young, and just, we can say, just recruited by IRGC on that time. But up until the end of his life, he was, we can say, a trustworthy member of the IRGC. Now, what's your take on that, Brother Ali? Why, you know, Supreme Leader of Iran, we can say, and we know that it is very grievous for the leader, and it was very sad for the nation, and it was clear exactly from the prayer, we can say, that the leader did on the body of, we can say, Sardar, the general in Tehran. That was really a sad moment, and it showed that this general, Qasem Soleimani, had a very specific position. And we know that after the Islamic Revolution, he was the only person who was given the Zulfiqar Medal. by the leader, and he was called as the Sepahbod. This was the only time that a person was given this kind of medal by the leader of Iran. This shows his high positions. What's your take on that, brother?
In Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah's peace and blessing be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. In addition to what the dear Sayyid mentioned, that he's being pious and a God-fearing person, I want to add some other features that made him to be loved by people and the leader specifically. Right. One was that actually he had a purity of intention in all these fronts that he had been.
That's right.
That is, he was doing his works, all the jobs and the assignments that have been given to him through a purity of intention. And he did not look at the ranks, let's say political and social ranks or positions that he could have. It is quite clear for the people, specifically Iranian, that he had the chance even to be the president of the country sometime. Okay. And there were some rumors that he's going to be nominated for the presidential election.
But he never showed love toward political actions.
He never loved to be in these positions.
And we can say he did not have the love towards the political actions.
Yes.
There is a different meaning of politics in Islam.
Okay.
The one we have.
No, I mean political.
Not this material word or the status or the chair or usually.
But in the presidential sense of the word, or become, for example, he said that I do not belong to any political line.
Mm.
Okay, whether be it right or wrong. He was a revolutionary in the true sense of the word. Okay.
Very true. So he had the chance to be elected for any of these high-ranking positions in the government or in the country, but he was unwilling to go for these, jobs and positions. Moreover, he could have, because he was a retired person from IRGC, and he could go for, like any other people, to do his own business and start a business.
That's
and
right.
To be involved in the economy of the country, like any other, retired people from armed forces.
That's right.
But he, again, did not like that.
He loved to be in the field.
He preferred to be at the service of people, not only Iranian, but I can say human beings in general, because he was giving his services to most of the countries around us, to Iraqis, to Afghans, to Syrians, to Lebanese, and I can say to the whole resistance line.
Yes.
So all of them were benefited from the helps of this, beloved general.
He was for 22 years the commander of the International Quds Force, which is the international section of the IRGC. Mm-hmm. And this is very difficult, and some say that the security and the safety of the Iranian borders were upon the, Quds, which is, of course, considered as a terrorist organization and the blacklist of the U.S. But we all know that what Soleimani was doing in Syria and Iraq was acting against ISIS. And both, they say, we know that in the U.S. magazines, in Newsweek, here and there, they call him the shadow general.
Very true.
And the shadow general is the person who is over the present in the field action, I mean physically speaking, but they cannot track him. Neither by ISIS nor by the U.S. And what he did in that region was really great.
Moreover, look, inside the country, he did not actually limit himself to be inside the political parties or groups.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he was looking at these political parties from above. So this is something that not only the leader, but also ordinary people, commonly people, can actually prefer this kind of behavior, that a person does not actually pay attention to these, political tendencies, which most of them have no basis, I can say. So the right path, which has been shown by Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, is quite clear for all of us.
That's right.
And I don't know, these, conflicts that we periodically see between different parties, to what extent can be, defendable. It's up to them to defend.
Okay.
And also, this kind of look was not limited also to Iran. Even to the countries that he was giving services, like Iraq, he was looking at the people, not inside the parties. For example, he was working with different opposing parties and groups in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that he could actually make a good communication and relation with different people. So this is an art. Look, a person like me might be able just to work with some limited group of people. Mm-hmm. This is because I don't have the art to be in touch, or let's say have, efficient communication with different people.
I think he was beyond the countries that he has provided services, because, you know, he was a freedom fighter.
He was a freedom fighter. Yeah.
He fought for the freedom. Like the Saddam regime has imposed the war. The Americans imposed the war.
Yes.
Now, this is, it looks funny
for
me.
When the Lebanese 33-day war happened.
Hassan.
That's right.
It looks very funny for me, like when America says, like, because the Quds force is fighting beyond the border in order to protect their country, they are the terrorist groups, whereas the American troops, they can go all around the world and they do not call them as a terrorist.
This is the picture that the media is making, you know. When Trump has killed him, we can say, and it was the violation of international laws. All know, and Trump must wait for the consequences, okay? This was a violation of international laws. When Trump killed him, he has called Soleimani a monster. Okay? This was a picture that was made by the media in America and Europe out of Soleimani. But when you go to the we can say these oppressed countries.
Well, he was a monster for the CIA, the American forces and the troops and their allies, obviously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, throughout these 22 years or 40 years of the revolution, he was protecting this country from outside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, this was a big deal for them.
Yes.
That they cannot obviously tackle one person, which is, that's why they called him the General of Shadow.
Yes, Shadow General.
The Shadow General.
Okay.
So that's why they call him, because they couldn't do anything of him.
That's right. But, you know, the thing that they don't understand is that Soleimani was not a James Bond 007, okay? For them, Soleimani was like acting like an intelligence serviceman, okay? Yes. Intelligence man, like, you know, a James Bond thing. No, he was not, okay? The character that was nurtured and educated inside the Islamic Revolution for the family side, the political side, the social side, is very, very much different. And unfortunately, they don't understand this.
And we can see, like, in his personal life, obviously, as you mentioned, he was a good man, a good husband, a good father, a good neighbor.
Yes.
And he was really, he was nurtured and mentored by the good teachers like Imam Khomeini.
Yes.
And Rahbar himself, like the supreme leader as well. So we have, this phrase in Urdu, basically, you know, because you started the question, the program with the question that why Rahbar or the supreme leader loves him so much. We have this phrase like "jisne usko chutti na mili, jisne sabak yaad kiya,"
which means
"usko chutti na mili." He never have a holiday. A person never have a day off. Jisne sabak yaad. Sabak, you know, in Persian we say to the lecture or lesson. Who have learned his lesson properly, he never have a day off in his life.
Yes.
So, you know, the students who learn a lot, who learn even on the day when they're off, they have to go to the work. For example, we had this scientist, Fakhrizadeh, Shahid
Fakhrizadeh.
Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Obviously, if there was a holiday, for example, the Friday, which is a holiday, if there was a work, he was going there.
Yeah.
So, those who learn their lessons properly, and Shahid Qasim Soleimani properly learned his lessons. That's why after the 8-year wars, he couldn't sit at home because he have learned the lesson how to defend the Islamic State and what to do and how to be, we can say, like a defender.
That's right.
So that's why every day he was involved in these things.
Thank you very much. I think we are done for today's episode. We'll get to the more characteristics of Shahid Qasim Soleimani in upcoming session of the program Viewpoints. Said Mohsen Naghvi and Ali Alavian, thank you very much for presence in this program.
Thank you, brother.
And dear audience, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Don't forget to visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian Khan of Islam page, or our YouTube page, Khan of Islam Radio. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
اصطفاك واجتباك للخلود
في تراك للقاك هل أعود أو وراك في سماك من جديد ذات يوم فيه قبري عند قبرك ويشم الناس روحانا بعطرك إن روحي الآن كم تشتاق وصلك قد تأخرت كثيرا توت بعدك من دماك لعلاك يا شهيد اصطفاك واجتباك للخلود في ثراك للقاك هل أعود أو وراك في سماك من جديد يبقى باب أشلائي يزار أو بقايا من وصاياي الكثار بالشهادات أنت حققت انتصار وانتظرت أنا لألحق بالمسار انتماك لعلاك يا شهيد اصطفاك واجتباك للخلود في تراك للقاك هل أعود وراك في سماك من جديد
This is IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The Limelight.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, the commander of Hads, who single-handedly confronted the global hegemonic powers and valiantly spearheaded the fight against terrorists in Syria and Iraq, was a linchpin of the resistance axis. and hero for the campaigners of truth and justice around the world. We now present you an article written by Sayed Zafar Mahdi, a Tehran-based journalist, editor and blogger with over 12 years of experience, who has reported extensively from Kashmir, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan and Iran for leading publications worldwide. The article is titled "Linchpin of Resistance Axis, World Pays Tribute to Lieutenant General Soleimani." Two years ago, millions of grief-stricken people poured into the streets from Tehran to Beirut, from Karachi to Kashmir, to bid tearful adieu to the man they considered their own. Spectacular scenes were witnessed not only in Iran but also in faraway places, as people with moist eyes and heavy hearts carried banners and chanted vociferous slogans against the Big Satan. Social media was inundated with posts paying tribute to the fallen hero, and calls for severe revenge reverberated far and wide. Even those who had never seen him saw his death as a personal loss. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, the commander of hearts, who single-handedly confronted the global hegemonic powers and valiantly spearheaded the fight against terrorists in both Syria and Iraq, was a linchpin of the resistance axis and hero for the campaigners of truth and justice around the world. Sajjad Kargili, a prominent political and human rights activist from Indian-administered Kashmir's Kargil city, considers Lieutenant General Soleimani as one of his biggest inspirations. Kargil, a landlocked city surrounded by majestic mountains, saw mass demonstrations following the assassination of Lieutenant General Soleimani and his associates, including the top Iraqi resistance commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes, in a US drone strike in Baghdad on 3rd of January 2020. The streets in this bustling Himalayan city of 170,000 people are still dotted with posters and banners eulogizing the 3rd of January martyrs. Kargili said, "Haj Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi Mohandes were the two larger-than-life linchpins of resistance against Takfiri terrorism and Western imperialism. Their strong and unwavering stance against Daesh and its Western backers, including the United States, Israel, and some Arab regimes, has been registered in history." Kargili, who contested India's 2019 parliamentary elections and nearly defeated his main rival from the ruling party, says, "The onus now lies on new generation of pro-resistance figures to carry the torch forward and to disseminate the stories of their heroism." Recounting the role of both Lieutenant General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes, the role they played in Iraq and Syria, Kargili said, "These heroes led the fight against Daesh terrorists, crushed it and saved many regional countries and even the West from the bloodthirsty terrorists. They were the saviors and our liberators." To invoke the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Lieutenant General Soleimani was a luminous example of those groomed in Islam and the school of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, the architect of the Islamic Revolution. That's perhaps why he caught the imagination of people everywhere in a way very few individuals have achieved in history. Paying tribute to the resistance hero, Agha Sayyid Hassan Mousavi, a senior pro-freedom leader in Indian-controlled Kashmir, said, "General Soleimani represents free nations' resistance to imperialism and autocracy worldwide." He says General Soleimani achieved martyrdom for resisting the sinister plots of oppressors and for protecting the rights and dignity of the oppressed people worldwide. Hailing him as the voice of all nations who are not ready to surrender before arrogant powers. Sayyid Mousavis added, his supreme sacrifice infused new life in resistance against injustice, hypocrisy and dehumanization. Osmar Shirazi, former president of the Imamia Students Organization, one of the largest student organizations in Pakistan, calls Lieutenant General Soleimani a beacon of light. She says, when we study his life, we understand that martyrdom was sweeter to him than honey. Osmar Shirazi adds, much like the young and brave warrior of Karbala, he was named after Qasim ibn Hassan, peace be upon him. The Imamia Students Organization is planning to hold a series of events across Pakistan to mark the second anniversary of the martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasim Soleimani. Mubashir Naqvi, a journalist and media researcher based in Pakistan-administered Kashmir, hails him as a role model in bravery, loyalty and commitment to a cause. Mubashir Naqvi says he courageously confronted the gangsters of the world, outmaneuvering them in both the field and diplomacy while being loyal and committed to the ideals of the Islamic Revolution. That made him an iconic figure not only in Iran but everywhere from South America to South Asia, particularly those struggling for freedom and justice. Sana Batul Zaidi, a Karachi-based journalist and academic, says General Soleimani will be remembered as a hero who decimated Daesh terrorists and made the safe pilgrimage to both Iraq and Syria once again possible. She adds, at one point in 2014, Daesh terrorists held about a third of Syria and 40% of Iraq, and then General Soleimani appeared on the scene. Now is the time for Americans to pack up and leave. While General Soleimani planned the downfall of Daesh terrorists in Iraq and Syria and played a key role in the Israeli regime's disgraceful defeat against Hezbollah in the 33-day war in summer of 2006, he also left a deep imprint in neighboring Afghanistan back in the 1990s. Rahman Malikzadeh, a former member of the Northern Alliance in Afghanistan's Panjshir province, recalls Lieutenant General Soleimani's visit to the mountainous Hindu Kush Valley in the late 1990s and his close cooperation with Ahmad Shah Massoud. Rahman Malikzadeh says, Afghans will never forget what Lieutenant General Soleimani did for them, going out of his way to offer help in extremely trying times, adding, he's a legend and legends never die. General Soleimani avoided limelight and rarely spoke to media. He was a person who deeply immersed himself in his job. Western regimes saw him as a shadowy figure that planned the downfall and defeat of Daesh terrorists in the region while escaping multiple bids on his life. A former CIA officer in September of 2013 called him the single most powerful operative in West Asia. In December of 2014, the cover of Newsweek magazine acknowledged that he was a nemesis for both Americans and Daesh. But he had and continues to have many admirers in the West, like Mick Wallace, a firebrand Irish politician and member of the European Parliament. Mick Wallace says he spent a week in Iraq earlier this year meeting people who are trying to build a sustainable independent state. He notes, the name of General Soleimani was never far from their lips, adding, he was too young to die, but for the US imperialism, he was too effective, too powerful, too good to be allowed to live. According to the Irish politician, nobody did more to defeat Daesh terrorists in both Iraq and Syria than General Soleimani, while the United States and its allies were responsible for the rise of the terrorist groups. news of Lieutenant General Soleimani's assassination on the morning of 3rd of January 2020 was shocking and in direct contravention of international legal conventions. It led to unprecedented tensions in the region and drove Iran and the United States to the verge of military confrontation. Ania Tarkian, an Italy-based geopolitical analyst and Islamic lecturer, says her first reaction after receiving the news on that fateful morning was to cry. She recalls, "On that morning, many cried as if they had lost a childhood friend or a father. It took time to sink in. Some, on the other hand, seemed to have freed themselves of great weight, the weight of their conscience, as if killing those who foiled the destabilization plot in West Asia could stop those who would later follow on the general's footsteps." She notes, "The living martyr had on several occasions spoken about his desire for attaining martyrdom." Ania Tarkian says, "For those who believe death is not the end, rather a new beginning, martyrdom is not the end of a revolution or a movement, but the strengthening of the same." Iranian authorities have vowed to pursue the case at the highest level and bring the perpetrators to justice. In a statement on Friday, 31st of December, Iran's foreign ministry said, "The US government has a definite international responsibility in assassination of Lieutenant General Soleimani and his associates." Afarin Rizvi, a UK-based student and researcher of human rights and international law, says, "Both international human rights law and international humanitarian law apply under the framework of an armed conflict." Providing a legal perspective, she said, "The acting state in this case, the United States, needed to prove that the drone strike that assassinated Lieutenant General Soleimani was proportionate and necessary." She hastened to add, "The acting state is prohibited from using targeted killings as a preventative measure. The strike that was conducted in Baghdad did not kill a legitimate target, as it included the premeditated use of lethal force by one state against a military commander, so it constitutes a flagrant violation of international laws." Afarin Rizvi, who examined the extrajudicial killing of Lieutenant General Soleimani in her BA final paper recently, says, "America's so-called war on terror campaign has consistently deprived civilians of their right to life." She added, "The United States should have been sanctioned not only for conducting an illegal airstrike and unlawfully assassinating a top military commander, but for simultaneously violating the sovereignty of Iraq in the process."
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.